in which we briefly reroute for some thoughts concerning A, hair height, and B, the film Sliding Doors. We hope you aren't overly inconvenienced by the delay. Hair height. There's an unspoken rule with regards to this in post-Reagan America. High hair equals low class, although the beehive is a category apart, both mobster wife and bohemian aristo. As view from the top progresses, Donna's hair gets less high, her makeup more subtle, her clothes less clingy. Like a reverse Samson, her power grows as her follicles flatten. She moves from being other to us, if we look like Gwyneth Paltrow. Thus, the makeover scene in any Hollywood film is not really about changing how someone looks, it's about restoring someone's looks. It's about taking something aberrant and normalizing it. Thus, femininity is an aesthetic democracy. We, the people, want women to be sunny yet demure, alluring yet chaste. For men, the opposite applies. The higher the hair, the greater the power. Sean Penn, Kurt Russell, Robert Redford, they're all thatch. And the thicker the thatch, the hotter the temper. If your hair's as high as Pacino's, you can go from low simmer to shrieking puce in less than a second. The head no more than the dot below an exploding exclamation mark. The height of your hair illustrates the emotional bandwidth in which you may operate, which is why Chris Walken can emphasize the syllable which he deems appropriate, rather than the one that might convey meaning. My hair is sometimes high, but it is also wide, and post-Einstein / Doc from Back to the Future, any intelligence associated with hair width is offset by an assumed craziness. You're the kind of customer who's 2 days to wipe the soot from your safety goggles after a comical chemical explosion. We're close, I just need to recalibrate the metrics, you say, before collapsing onto an off-camera crash mat. But there can also be power in having zero hair height, i.e. total baldness. A man who shaves his own head displays a vehement opposition to imperfection. Unless my hair provides complete coverage, such a man says, I will destroy it. This started with Brynner, Yule, continued with Willis, and reached its logical conclusion in Statham. These are some of the classiest thespians ever to avenge the inhumanity of man by taking the law into their own chunky hands. And as the hair gets lower, so does the voice. If your hair's low, talk slow. Otherwise, you're just a shrieking baldy. Audibility is not your responsibility. You know what you're saying, maybe. And that's all that matters. Leave the exposition to the audience's imagination. This is why Willis is one of the most powerful actors of this or any other era. He delivers dialogue like he's calming a jittery leopard. Dispensing with the rug is a kenotic act of distillation. Such men eschew ornament and ostentation. Their very being seems to say, "Have you any idea how quickly I can shower?" It is interesting to note that View from the Top contains no powerful men. Reduced to a few rumbling glares, Sally Weston's husband is a mute totem of masculinity. But the only man we meet in a position of authority is Mike Myers' John Whitney. A man of indeterminate hair height and diverging eyeline, his physical imperfections mean that there is no way we could ever trust him. In fact, many romantic comedies seem to be based on the theory that women are best suited to men whom, initially, they barely notice. Sliding Doors. Paltrow is so good at being surly, one wonders whether the aspirational pep with which she is now associated is a corrective for a disposition that might be more naturally melancholic. Perhaps there are two Gwyneth Paltrows, just as there are in the film Sliding Doors. For those who are less cine-literate than one would hope, Sliding Doors is a 1998 dramedy written and directed by Peter Howitt, who would go on to make a film that is actually called Dangerous Parking. Sliding Doors' narrative alternates between two timelines, which diverge when the main character, Helen Quilley, Gwyneth Paltrow, runs to catch the tube. Timeline 1. After Helen Quilley is fired from her PR job, she catches the tube, arrives home, sees her boyfriend betray her, meets a garrulous Scott, John Hannah, falls in love, wrongly accuses him of betraying her, reconciles with the garrulous Scott and rains so heavy they look like a pair of salmon trying to make it upstream, wanders into the road for no real reason, is hit by a van, and dies in hospital immediately after the garrulous Scott promises to make her very happy. Perhaps envisaging a future in which he would never get a word in edgeways was a final death blow. Timeline 2. After Helen Quilley is fired from her PR job, she misses the tube, hits her head on a tree, doesn't find out her boyfriend is cheating on her until much later despite ample evidence, falls down some stairs, wakes up in hospital, dumps the boyfriend, and meets a garrulous Scott, John Hannah, in the lift on her way out. He's on her like a duck on a June bug. Sliding Doors is a film that asks us to have sympathy for someone who works in PR, and shows that whether you catch the tube or not, you will never get away from John Hannah. It also shows Paltrow's ability to successfully inhabit two different haircuts. It is a film which helps us remember modes of behaviour in 90s cinema that young people might now find hard to believe. 1. People once thought bright lime was an acceptable colour for a shirt. 2. People deliberately wore shirts unbuttoned with a contrasting t-shirt underneath. 3. People listened non-ironically to Jamiroquai, and often in public. 4. Actors got out of breath from running and had centre partings even when it didn't suit them. 5. The term, "you cheating wanker," was more shocking than anything you heard on television. 6. People watched television. 7. Plot exposition consisted of debriefs with a cheeky best mate character and floodlit bright, smoky pubs. On which note, why does everyone in this film drink so much Grolsch? I've never heard anyone specify that they want to drink Grolsch. In the film, they literally talk about going out for some Grolsch. If a person were to ask for Grolsch at a bar and for some reason they had run out of Grolsch, that person would do nothing more than shrug and accept any other beer as a more than adequate substitute. This audio footnote was brought to you by Grolsch. Perhaps if Sliding Doors hadn't so successfully displayed Paltrow's ability to anchor a romantic dramedy, she would never have taken on View from the Top. We will never know because, unfortunately, there isn't a timeline in which Sliding Doors was never made.